If you haven't got the scripture verses sheet and you like one, the ushers will give you one. And I'm going to pretend to be Tim today. I have a sheet for you. It's nothing elaborate or nothing you don't already probably have. But I'm speaking at this moment on standing on the Word of God. And there's a difference between standing on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, confessing the Word of God, and praying. And we're going to get into some of these things as we keep preaching. But today we're talking about standing on the Word of God. How do we stand on the Word of God? And it's a common phrase. Another way to term it would be I'm believing for something. I'm standing for something. And, you know, throughout the years, I met many people going through circumstances. And you watch them and you say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm believing for something. See, the point of standing and believing isn't so you stay the same. It's so that things will change. And this is where when you go through a circumstance that you can't fix, how many have had circumstances in your life that you cannot fix? I mean, it's impossible. A pill from the doctor won't fix you. An extra job can't fix it. Manipulation can't fix it. A new career, a new city, nothing fixes what you're going through, and you've been through something like that. You know, those are moments where you have to hold on to God and His Word. And in those moments, it can feel like, I hate this time. I hate going through this. Why do I have to go through this? Why me? And I want to share from my own heart that as I go through circumstances that are not fixable in the natural, there's a place where you going through that circumstance is causing you to go to a place in God. And we know that God didn't cause it, but you going through it is causing you to go to a place in God that many people never have to go to. You know, there's people who live their whole life, never know God, never go to church, never serve God, but they live their whole life healthy, wealthy, and wise, as they say. But yet, some people go through hard times. And we all start at different places. You're born with from your family. So that means from the family of Adam, your family may have extra problems. It could be the way you're raised. It could be the way you were taught. It could be the culture you came from, the country you came from. It could be your body type. It could be different disadvantages that you have that other people don't have. And so for us to judge each other and say, well, you have this problem because you failed or because you don't believe. And I use the example of my father, my birth dad, Frank Robidoux. I was actually born Alan Robidoux. And he was a hard worker, but he was born with no fingers on his left hand. If he came to church today and said, hey, people, can I believe God for new fingers? What should our answer be? Absolutely. You can believe God for new fingers. Just believe God and you can have new fingers. Like it says that Jesus took the maim and made them whole. So we know that's possible. So it's also possible for us. So it's possible for you to believe for new fingers. So if he came back the next day and said, you know, all night long I sat there and looked at my hand and said, I believe for new fingers. Believe for new fingers. See, this is a situation where nobody can help him. It's humanly impossible to fix what he's going through. And many of us have been there, some with emotional problems, some with financial problems, some with health problems, where somebody has come in with practical human advice for you to fix your problem. But for you, it won't work. Because I can't tell you how to fix your problem. There's only one we should trust to tell us how to fix our problem. And not that we can't take advice, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to help you personally walk through every battle you're going through. You can say amen to that. And so Frank Robidoux could say, well, I believed all night and my fingers didn't reappear. What do I do? It doesn't work. We would say, oh no, brother, it's true. You can believe for new fingers. Now, understand that all knowledge that's shared without love and compassion is just knowledge. But knowledge shared with love and compassion is revelation. And that is where you could tell someone and say, well, Brother Frank, you just don't believe. If you believed like me, you could have fingers like me. See, I believe and I keep my fingers. So if you just believe like me, you could have fingers like me. See, that is a knowledge, but not truth. It's not love. Love would say, Mr. Robidoux, if you just keep confessing the word, because the problem isn't God. The problem is in your heart, you don't believe. And that just simply means that your mountain to believe for new fingers is bigger than my mountain. So this is your fight. This is your battle to go unto God to a place that very few have gone to and believe for a miracle to receive new fingers. But it is possible. Don't judge yourself compared to the other 99 people in the church who have fingers. Don't look at them and think, oh, they believe, I don't believe. Because you started at a different place than they did. So your fight is bigger than theirs. But the Word of God has a promise. No matter how big your fight is, it's possible for you to have what the Word says you can have. So keep believing. And if you will believe to that place, you will go to a place in God that is so rich that you'll be able to touch many people's lives because of it. And so this is part of standing on the Word of God, is understanding that your battle is unique. It's yours. It's not because you're weak. It's not because you failed. It's not because you didn't believe. You just may have to believe more than the average person, the other 99 around you. And so when you're going through a battle, the worst thing you do is compare yourself to others or let others compare themselves to you. And understand that whatever battle you're going through, that's your mountain. I had one person talk to me and said, I have an emotional battle, emotional struggle. And I've come to realize how those emotional struggles can be as real as other practical things that people go through. And as hard to overcome as anything else. And as destructive as anything else. And my answer to them was, this is your mountain. So quit comparing yourself to other people. This was someone who was a mama who had problems with their kids and with emotionally dealing with their children. And I said, this is your mountain. So quit comparing yourself to other mamas. This is your mountain. You're going to have to overcome this. And the point of bringing compassion through the Word is not to let us stay the same, feel good, but never change. The point of bringing compassion is the Word of God should never be followed by a feeling of condemnation, of failure. It should always be followed by a feeling of hope and love. Amen? So standing, how do I stand? What is standing? Standing is not staying where you're at. Standing is refusing to fix your problem in the natural. And you can see how tempting it is when people go through stuff as they follow God, as they go through things, how tempting it is to fix their problem in the natural and then give it to God as proof that I've obeyed God. And many of you have been following God, you prayed in tongues, and as you hit a circumstance, your natural brain came up with a solution that seemed simple, it seemed easy, it seemed to be good. But your spirit man will not let you obey that, but not let you fix it in the natural. How many have been through that? Every one of you should have your hand up. When you face something that you can't fix, when you face something you can fix, it's easy to fix it. But yet the Spirit won't let you. Why? Because He wants us to walk by His steps and not by our own. So if you're in a circumstance that you cannot fix, there is a silver lining to it, as they say, or there is some good that can come out of it. One of the great things that come out of going through a circumstance that's impossible to fix is that you're going to have to go, you and I are going to have to go into God to a place that many people never get to, because it's too easy to take other avenues. Not that you had to go through this to learn it, but going through it, you're going to learn how to believe God for something that it can't be fixed by natural means. And you'll keep that with you the rest of your life. I want us to turn to Joshua chapter 1, if you would. Standing on the Word of God. Standing on the Word of God is based on that God is faithful. It's not based on your faithfulness. It's not based on your holiness. It's not based on your obedience. Standing on the Word of God is based on the point that God is faithful. His Word is true. And not in your good works. Now there's promises, say promises. And there's blessings, say blessings. Promises are what we're going to talk about today. Standing on the Word of God for promises. Now the blessings of God, things such as anointing, personal prosperity, things such as walking in your ministry, your calling, those are blessings. Blessings require that you come to a place of maturity and agreeing with God every day. So in other words, if God wants to bless you with $1 million, it's not going to come because of what because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's going to come because you prove to Him you're faithful with a little, then He'll trust you with more. And the same thing with ministry. Some of us are called to speak to people, to minister to God's sheep, to His beautiful children. And there, if you drive for that, say, God, I'm called to ministry, I want to bless people. He'll say, before I trust you with my beautiful children, you have to prove to me that you're going to take care of them. And now you can go start your ministry without Him, but for Him to move you forward, you have to prove to Him you can handle it. For Him to trust you with $1 million, you have to prove to Him you can handle it first. Amen? Those are the blessings of God. But the promises of God are the things that you can stand on without worrying about yourself. Is that clear? It's all based on the cross, what Jesus paid for, the price that was paid by His blood on the cross of Calvary. And too many times we go to stand for something that's a promise and we discredit ourselves before we even get there. And you'll hear it in every prayer line. I'm here to get prayed for healing, but I haven't been eating right, so I don't know if God's going to heal me. Or, but I have this area in my life. But I have this. But I have that. I'm believing God for my personal finances to pay my bills. But I haven't tithed. But I haven't been faithful. I haven't prayed in tongues. I was going to pray in tongues 5 hours today, this week, 10 hours this week, and I only got 5 minutes in. So I'm not going to see. When we try to tie in, add to our works, add to His promises, we immediately discredit ourselves. Because I'll tell you a secret. You'll never be good enough to earn something that Jesus already paid for. And that is what a bad offering is. When you try to give God something to get something that Jesus already paid for, that's a bad offering. He already paid for it. You don't need to add anything to it. You only have to receive what He's promised you. So this is standing on the Word of God I'm talking about. When you're going through circumstances, God always looks to your future. He never looks at the moment. So when you start to say, God, I can't make it through this. This is too hard. Why are things not changing? When are they going to change? I've been standing and believing for whatever, however long it is. When will it change? See, it's not up to him. The change has to do with us. The problem is never him. The problem is us. The problem is I have to go to a place of believing that his word is true. Such a place that I can believe something that's impossible to be possible. And the moment I believe it and speak it, that's the moment I'll have whatever he said I can have. So when you talk to God and say, God, I don't like what I'm going through. It's not fair. He's usually pretty silent because he's looking at your future of when you get through it. And he's excited about your future. He's excited about the things that are waiting for you as you get there. This standing on the Word of God is not based on us reaching up into heaven and getting God to drop something down from heaven. It's not based on us worship. I remember the first time I seen the devil cast down. I was in our church, and this lady began to manifest in the service, and all the prayer warriors got around there. I got up there to watch, and they started to say, well, sing the blood of Jesus, because the devils hate the songs about the blood. So we were singing about the blood, commanding in the blood. You know, the devil hates that. In the blood of Jesus is on you, around you. And people are casting it out. Come out. I mean, and it was like we're looking for the code word, the secret recipe to make that devil submit. And really, that came from authority, not from some special scripture that was preached over them or sung over them. What God was looking for was authority, not so much a specific secret recipe to make that devil leave. And so sometimes when we're going through circumstances, we start to look for a secret recipe. Maybe if I said this scripture, maybe if I sang that song, maybe if I quoted this preacher, maybe if I gave this or did this, or maybe if I worshiped him the right way. You didn't worship him the right way. You should have lifted your hands. You should have, you know, we're looking for something to break open heaven so that God's able to do something that he already did. When it comes to the promises of God, they're already done. Say that with me. The promises of God are already done. There's nothing else that God can do except help us to believe that he's given them to us. So there's no sense praying for God to heal you when he's already healed you. I know my circumstance, the first thing he told me was about the attack, and then he said, you're already healed. You're already healed. You just have to come to that place of walking through this. So I'm already healed. Now I just have to work on me agreeing with that. But until it manifests, guess what I do? I stand on the Word of God, and I refuse to be moved from the Word of God that he spoke to me from his scripture and from the promises of God or the prophecies personally that is given to me about my future. I won't change course. I won't stop. Sometimes when you go through a hard time, many times, you don't want anyone else to know about it. You don't want anyone else to see it. And so we hide, just like the world hides the sick. There's so many hidden sick people in this city. The world doesn't even know it because you get sick to where it's bad. They throw you behind the curtain. In the medical field, ask a nurse, ask a doctor, ask people in the medical field. They'll tell you about how many sick people there are out there. But it's so hidden in the world because they want to keep everyone keeping going. Don't worry about that. Just keep moving. Keep going to work. Keep the economy going. But in the church, we've fallen for the same thing. When we're sick, when we're going through depression, when we're going through a hard time, when our family's in a struggle, when our finances are in a struggle, many of us try to hide because we don't want the church to judge us as being in unbelief. And we have to remove that because that's a lie from the devil. We have to remove that fear of going through a hard time because guess what? Most people beside you are going through a hard time too. But they won't tell anybody. The church needs to know that as you go through a hard time, the hope of the gospel is that you can get through it. Not that you won't go through something, but that you will go through it. Because in life, depending on where you're born, how you're born, the family you belong to, you have different struggles than someone else. And so you are going to have to come to a place of believing that other people don't in certain areas. But don't worry, they have their own mountains. and this is where we thank God for our fights, our struggles, because it's not allowing us to live a life of just happy days. See, God's goal is not for a utopia here on this earth. His goal is not for us to build his kingdom here on this earth and rule and reign with lots of money, take over the government, and make the world submit to the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is in heaven. Our job is to invite people to be born out of the kingdom of this world and be born into the kingdom of God. And so much has been focused on faith of prosperity, abundance. So much so that if you show any weakness in an area, that's because you failed. And what should be told is life is going to throw things at you. In this world, is it a corrupt world? You're going to be ripped off. People, you know, someone comes and steals something off you. The world says, call 911, have them arrested, and sue him and get that money back. The kingdom of God says, thank God they stole money from you. Because now they've opened the door for you legally to pray for them and forgive them for their salvation. The kingdom of this world is not the same as the kingdom of God. And so we're not here to live in this life and have a utopia and teach the world how to be happy. We're here to bring a message that says the only hope we have is heaven. And by God, there's an eternity out there where you're going to live forever. And if you come to the kingdom of God, you can spend eternity in a beautiful place and you can know God. And the hope is, no matter what you're fighting in your flesh, no matter what struggle you're having, there's hope in the scripture. Beyond your ability, you can go to a place in this life and stand on his word that says, I don't have to accept whatever this world throws at me, whether it's sickness or poverty, disease, depression, emotional struggles, whatever it is, you don't have to stay there. You can move beyond there. Amen? You don't have to stay the same. I'm saying all this because I want to remove any self-judgment or condemnation that someone may have because you're going through something. You may be dealing with a child that's dysfunctional and you say, I wasn't here for that child, I was a bad parent, and so I'm believing for their salvation, but I don't know if I can believe for their salvation because I was a horrible parent. I don't know, maybe I ruined them. Maybe you in the past at work stole money and said stuff and hurt somebody, and now you don't feel that you can help them, that you can believe for them because you hurt somebody. But see, this standing is not based on you. You can believe for the salvation of your family, even if you were the worst parent, even if they never met you. I have relatives that I've never met, but they're going to go to heaven because I have the word to stand on and a promise to stand on that says they're going to go to heaven. I don't have to preach to them. God will send the preachers to them. See, I don't ever have to meet them, but because I'm connected, I have a right to stand for them, and they have to come to heaven. And so, all right. Standing on the word of God, we want to get past self-judgment and realize it doesn't matter how you got there. The fact is, because he is faithful, you can stand on his word and his promises to get your rear end out of there and get into the great things that God has for you. Amen? That was a good amen right there. Get your rear end out of there We'll title this message, Get Your Rear End Out of There and Get Into the Promises of God. Our relationship with God is not built on outward communication. This is why it kind of irks me a little bit when I see a lot of the movement of God going towards sensationalism. If the praise and worship team is doing worship and the crowd gets really excited and there's a move of emotions, those are great times. It's good to wash your emotions like that. But when it comes from the stage down, trying to get you stirred up, those are the things that are not authentic. And so it's a different path into experiencing God. So it's okay to experience them in your emotions. However, the foundation of your relationship with God is eternal. He's in you. You are in Him. You're already connected to Him. You don't have to call up to heaven. You just have to pick up the phone right here because you have a mainline connection to God right now. You're seated in Christ with Him right now in heavenly places. You're connected to Him. It's not emotionally based. So if you get emotional, that's great, but you don't have to get emotional. You don't even have to feel anything. You can feel like a dirty dog, wore out, exhausted, tired, disgusted, frustrated, and still be as connected to God then as when you're excited and happy and thinking about how great things are. Because you're connected to Him eternally. Amen? Amen? So it's not about how you feel. Much of the faith that I learned earlier on was you build your faith. You build it, and if you have a doubt, you lost everything you built. So you can spend 2 years confessing and believing the Word, building your faith, but if you have a bad day, it all went out the window, start again. And that makes no sense to me. It never made sense to me. Well, that was taught. I was in services where they wanted you to get excited. One service was read the scripture, weep, lament, mourn. So get up here now. Everyone get up to the altar and I want you to weep. I want you to lament and mourn. So all of us went up to the altar. I'm weeping, God. I'm lamenting. You know, there was no mourning. There was no like. It was. I'm trying to generate something in the flesh to get God to respond to it. You know, it was the same. The same preacher had us marching around the church with flags and you know, run. I remember one preacher. I was emceeing, and he came up in front of the church and he's trying to get the church excited. And I was just the MC, the guy that introduced him. I wasn't the official pastor. And so he thought, well, if I can get Alan to run, that'll get the whole church to run. Well, he didn't realize I'm Canadian. Canadian simply means, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't care who you are or what you offer me. It's not going to work. And I remember him come up with the microphone in his hand during mid-service. And as he's preaching, he's like, I'm preaching good. Someone here needs to run. Someone here needs to run. And he was trying to generate an excitement. And no one ran. So he looked, came up the stage and looked at me and said, Alan, run. And I looked at him. I said, no. I said, you run. If you need someone to run, you run. And so he never asked me again. You know. I had one famous preacher who was a laughing preacher, and he always picked on me because I emceed probably 20 of his services, so he liked to pick on me, and he would try to get me to laugh, and unless I want to laugh, I won't laugh, and he would look at me over and over and over again, and it was almost like I became his project, like, I will make you laugh. Because they believed that if you laugh, it was similar to praying in tongues. It was just, you know, making yourself laugh does things emotionally to you and you get emotional wash. I get it. But it doesn't do the same as praying in tongues. So he would look at me on the stage, huh, and because that worked for most people. He'd look at them and go, huh, 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 and they laugh. And I would just look at him. And one time, the Spirit of God came on me, I cried instead of laughing. And there was a time I was in the elevator, and he was going up in the elevator, and him and his crowd, his entourage came in, and I said hello, and he said, hi, hi, Alan. And he looked at me and went, tried to make me laugh, and I felt for him, like, you don't need to do that to people to make them respect you. Amen. So we want any emotion to be authentic. If it's authentic, then do. You want to run? Run. We won't stop you. We'll all shout, and all of us non-runners will live in your running. You know? If you want to laugh, laugh. And if you want to cry, cry. If the emotion in you comes up, then it's okay. But you don't have to perform or generate anything for God to do what He's already done for you. And that's the promises of God that we stand on. And I want to read to you some of the promises that you and I can stand on. It doesn't matter how you feel. You can feel like you are a complete failure, that you didn't pray enough, you didn't fast enough, you didn't read the Word enough, and you still have a right to stand on this Word and say, God, Your words are true, and I'm refusing to let myself fix it. Now, if you're in a situation that you can't fix it, then praise God. You know, this is where you find joy in your circumstance. This is where you find victory in the battle. Is I'm in a battle that can't be won with natural means. I can't just go fix it. Single people want to get married. Many of you get tired of waiting for God to help you find your mate, so you might go fix it. And, you know, it's easy to fix that. But as they say, you know, love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener, you know. You know, that you may fix it and not be happy once you fix it. And some of you may not be happy with your financial things. And so, you know, or with what God has you doing. And what I can tell is when people make a choice to fix something, they use a legal reason to justify. And even I've had one person give me their prophecies and say, God told me this word, and so therefore I'm going to go do this opportunity. And I knew that opportunity was of God. It was, your prophecies are not to lead you in the sense of, God told me to do this, so I'm going to go do it. The prophecies are there to give you hope that if you follow God, He will lead you to that place that this will happen. So that's me looking into my future while I'm going through my present battle. I hold on to my prophecies. And those are the words that God's spoken to me personally, and they bring me hope. Hope that, look, you're just going through this, but you're going to get through it. And you're going to be better on the other side. And even if it's miserable, don't worry, because misery does not stop the Word of God from being true. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. And these are scriptures that someone made me memorize when I was 18 years old. First scriptures they made me memorize. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This was God speaking to Joshua. Moses was dead, and now Joshua has the responsibility of following God. No man shall be able to stand before you the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. For I have I not commanded you to be strong and good courage? Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And one of the lessons you want to learn from Joshua is that when they obeyed God, everything they needed to win their battles was given to them. They still had to go through battles, but every fight they fought, every city they conquered, as they obeyed God and walked into it, they conquered it. The ones they did on their own power, they lost. And that's a whole message right there we won't get into today. Be strong and of good courage. Do not turn left or turn to the right. So when God's given you a step today to do, I want you to pray. I want you to, for me, there was times where he told me, I don't want you to preach. I want you to sit and pray. And in my finances, I thought, well, how am I going to make a living? And that's when God taught me that I had to learn that he was my source, not my ministry. And same thing with your job. Whatever job you may have in the natural, it may be your job, but it's still not your source. And he's your source. And there's so many things he teaches us every day as we obey him that we don't want to be taken off course by circumstances, by frustration, or by opportunity. Because one of the tricks of the devil when you go through circumstances is opening a big old fat glorious door that will fix all your problems. You think it will, but it's not by God's hands. It's by your own hands. But God, I'll give extra money to you if I get this job. I'll pray more if I do it. One of the arguments I had that came against me by people when I decided to move to Tulsa because God told me to. Well, why are you moving there? I said, well, God's telling me to, and I expect to invest into some prayer time and see God. Well, you can pray here. You can pray right here. You don't need to go there to pray. And it's true. I didn't move here to pray. I moved here because God told me to move here. But in that, I expected that I would be pushed into more prayer. Because out there, if you pray 3 hours a week in tongues, you're crazy. That's too much. Here, if you pray 3 hours a week in tongues, you're an amateur. You know? I mean, I remember hearing people say, well, we fast like every Monday. And I thought, wow. Oh, wow. You fast every Monday? Yeah, we skip lunch every Monday. Wow. You're amazing. I mean, because you would think, I mean, I don't know who said it here, but you hear stories of people going in the wilderness and they get lost in the woods for 24 hours and they're cutting off their hand to eat it because they're afraid they're going to starve, And it's like they don't realize that, you can last a little longer, especially most of us can last a little longer than 24 hours, And so out there is a different world than in here. And that's okay. Amen. Are you still with me today? So standing is being not moved by your emotions. Not letting your emotions tell you who you are. Not letting your emotions tell you what your future is. And not letting your emotions tell you that you're not worthy. Because you being not worthy is accepted. You're never worthy. We're never good enough. There's nothing we can do to earn these things from God. These are promises that the price was paid in full at the cross. Amen? And so emotionally, it doesn't matter how your day is. Emotionally, you can have the worst day of your life and still be in faith because you didn't let the emotions push you to give up or to fix your circumstance. See, because if you can fix it in the natural, it's much easier. But if you're going through something you can't fix in the natural, then you have no choice. You can either quit and say, woe is me, I give up. I'm going to quit this praying tongue stuff. I'm going to quit this standing on the word stuff. I'm going to quit confessing. I'm going to quit believing. I'm just going to live my life the way it is. See, that's quitting. That is letting your emotions push you off of standing on the Word of God. That's why staying on the Word of God is, to me, a better definition. Staying on the things that God told you to do. Staying on the Word, the promises. And knowing that if I don't quit. Some people want to, like for me, when I went through my big battle at first, a year ago, my first instinct was to get in a hole and just, I'll come out of this hole and I'm all fixed. I don't want anyone to see me go through something. And I don't know if that's pride or what it is. Could just be male pride. Could be pride. Could be whatever. I don't want anyone to see me go through a hard time. I don't want to tell anyone about it. Just leave me alone. Let me get through this. And when I'm done, then I'll come back out and say hi. I'll give you a good testimony of what happened. But that wasn't God's will. See, that would be me letting circumstances push me into a place where God said to me, keep moving forward. Even if you got a hobble, you still come. I came into a wheelchair into church for a few months in a wheelchair, you know, and I mean, all I could see was your bellies when I walked in, and I couldn't see, you know, hey, you know, it's a whole new world down there, you know. It's funny how some of us who claim to fast the most So part of my faith was just showing up. It wasn't huge to you, but to me it was huge, just showing up. I refused to let my circumstances tell me what I can do. And so if you're emotionally going through a hard time and you want to hide from people, make yourself cook a dinner for your family. Make yourself go do something. Make yourself get around people. Make yourself. Drag that emotion. Say, I know everything in me says don't be around people. Don't expose your weakness. Listen, if we're honestly going to be family and help people who are going through hard times, we have to get rid of the fear of showing our faults and showing our weaknesses and say, I'm here. I'm not perfect. My faith isn't like Jesus yet. One day I'll be like Jesus. And the devil tried to pull a trick on me and I'll say, get behind me, Satan. And he'll, But until then, just know that I'm getting there. And same with you. You know, you're getting there. Don't be afraid. Sometimes the best thing you can do is expose your weakness and not be afraid to hide it or to show people, because I have found so much love and compassion and hope from people that I never knew existed. You know, because I've always been a strong person in the sense of it's me and God, bless God. And I don't care if no one else, you know, and it's true, I can do this on my own with God, but we're not supposed to. We're a body. We're supposed to work together, walk together, and strengthen each other. When one part is weak, the rest of the body is hurting. That means that you feel it. That's more than, oh, I feel sad for you. That's, I'm going to help you with whatever I can help you with in that moment of struggle. Because that's what we're here for. We're the body. Amen? Amen. So in Joshua, it says, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. I'm teaching here on how to stand on the promises of God. What gives you a right to stand on the promises of God? The fact that Jesus paid the price for these. That's it. There's nothing else you need to add, just that you will work on believing that that word is true. Amen? So, you know, when I suffered the stroke, and I know I'm teaching a lot, but it just seems that's my circumstance right now, so I'll teach about it. A lot of people came and were like, all right, let me give you some health points. You know, they checked my arteries. They were perfectly clean. They checked my kidneys. My heart was perfect. Everything was really strong. They couldn't find out what caused it. And so it wasn't lack of vegetables that caused my situation. Okay? And so someone can come to you and say, well, I know you're going through a hard time in your marriage. Well, it's because you're doing this. You know, I know you're going through a hard time with your finances as well. You know, if you would give a little in church, maybe God will bless you. You know, I know you're going through a hard time with sin, but you just need to stop it. You know, people come and try to tell you, and I appreciate all of it. This is, by the way, one of my struggles with the group that tells you to go out and just pray for people. Just go out into the community and pray for people. And I appreciate the thought of that. But being on the other end of it, I've learned something. Because I've been, like, I remember going to my first restaurant after the stroke. And the stroke affected me more than just physically. And so they wheeled me up the wheelchair. And so the place is packed at IHOP, the pancake place, not the church, the pancake place. And I'm in line, and again, all I can see is people's belly buttons, and at IHOP, so you know what I'm talking about. And there's lots of people there. And I went through a season of claustrophobic where I could only handle crowds for a short season. And I had to get out. You know, I just, it was like, it affected me that way. And so I'm in there, and while I'm sitting there just holding it together before we got our table, a little girl came up to me, and God bless her. She said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And I appreciated that, okay? And she did so good, and I wanted to get up just for her, you know, just to, good job. But, you know, I'm pretty sure she had her friend videotaping in her iPhone in the back, you know, her praying for me in IHOP, in my wheelchair. And I appreciate her praying, but here's one of the things that happens. See, in Scripture, it says that they came to Jesus, not that Jesus went to them. So many sick people, Jesus walked on by and left them there sick, because one of the requirements of faith is that you go to him. Okay? And so I'm a preacher. I got thick skin. I know the word. So when she prayed for me and I didn't get up out of that wheelchair, I loved every minute for her, okay, and her friend videotaping. And I appreciated it. But if I wasn't a believer and I wasn't strong in the faith or in the word, I could take the lack of power in my situation from the believer as saying to me that God did not want me healed, that God wanted me to stay in that for a season or whatever place that's at. So it's mighty self-serving for us to go out and just to the community without the power and just pray. If you're going to pray, like if you see someone in a wheelchair, you can go tell them, "Hey, God, I just want to tell you God loves you. Don't give up. And I'm praying for you." And you're well, and people will let you pray for them. But don't, you know, drag them out of the wheelchair or try to prove something, because you will do more damage. Part of being a believer is to do less damage, is to add hope and not to bring condemnation. Amen. I had a pastor that I really love and respect. He was at the healing evangelist service where you see on TV all the time people get healed. And he told me, he said, you know, he really struggled. And this is a man I have deep respect for. He said, "I love the service. I love the crowd and the atmosphere." He said, "I had to sit on the third row because I was, you know, a special guest. And if I left to go to the bathroom, they would have someone come and sit in his chair so the TV camera would sweep across the crowd and it would look empty." And so he said, "If I left my seats," they had seaters to come sit so the crowd wouldn't look empty. And he said, "I appreciated every person who got healed." But he said, "Alan, out of the 10 people, 15 people that got healed, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds who left in their wheelchairs, not healed." And see, we have provided a level of acceptance for miracles that isn't scriptural. Because scriptural, when they came to Jesus, how many got healed? Did they have to believe in that moment? The only belief required of them was that they came to Jesus. See, they didn't require a list of holiness or a list. They just had to come and believe, if I went there, I can get healed. See. And so there's a part of what we are proving or what we are living, I believe, at the prayer center, and I'm sure other places around the world, and definitely other people who are connected to us, where it doesn't seem like we're producing much right now. But the idea is in following God to a place where to walk like Jesus walked seems to cost more to go to a place to what's acceptable today. And if God sees fit for you and I to go there and pay whatever price it is we have to pay to get there, we're not to judge the other guys and say we're more important than them. Because everything we have to get to where God wants us to go comes from him anyway. But we thank God that we get to get there to a place where every person comes healed. Because it's not generated. It's not, okay, today the worship was just right. God's presence came down and his healing came. It is authority that comes from within us that says, "Hey, he's healed you." Doesn't matter what the feeling is. We can be eating a Kentucky Fried Chicken wing, be healed, and they be healed, because that's the authority that comes from our connection to God, directly from God. Amen? All right, well, that's one of my little beefs anyway. All right, let's get to our scripture here. They're simple. I just put a few scripture because you don't need a ton of scripture. You don't need 30 verses for your problem to stand on. You only need one, really, one to hold on to. And so I've just put down some of the scriptures for different areas. These are promises. Say promises. In another service, we'll go into blessings, but these are promises. Promises require what from you? You're believing. That's it. They don't require holiness. You can be someone who doesn't pray in tongues, someone who doesn't give to the church, someone who doesn't go to church, someone who has never told anyone about Jesus, and you have a right to believe God for each of these things in your life because of what? The blood of Jesus that was paid on the cross for us. Amen. And we'll start with, I think, is provision first on your page? Provision. This is the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to be abound. Everything and all things I learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here he says, I've learned to be abased and abound. I learned to have lots and have little. But none of that means anything because everything I need in the moment to do what God told me to do, I have. It's already done. Tim said something really good this morning. I put it in my notes. God who owns everything, has everything, doesn't need anything except for you. See, that's provision. See, some of us think provision is such an abundance that I won't have to worry about the moment. But provision is everything I need to do what God has me to do, I already have, if I obey Him. Okay, so provision is required for you to believe and just believe and receive. Therefore, do not worry, Matthew 6:31, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Psalm 34:10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In the history of mankind, there's never been a man or woman who has suffered provision who's believed God. It's impossible. It's impossible to believe God and suffer provision. This is what the promise is. You can believe God that He'll take care of your needs. You may get a believe for a purse. It may not be a fancy purse, but it'll be a purse. You may need a car. It may not be a fancy car. You can have a car. You need a roof over your head. It may not be five bedrooms, maybe one bedroom. But you can believe for it. See, these are things that you can not worry about and just say, God, you're my provider. As I follow you, I believe that you will meet every need. And in those daily needs that He meets, He's tapping you on the shoulder saying, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Emotions, this has to do with depression and different things. Depression deserves a whole page, but we're just staying with emotions because there's lots of emotions people go through. And emotions can be feeling lack, like a failure, fear of anything, depression, anxiety, all those things. And here's scripture. Now what this means is you can stand on this scripture. When your life doesn't line up with this scripture, by standing on the scripture, you're forcing your life to shape itself to what the scripture says, instead of you trying to take the word and shape it to your circumstance. Be anxious for nothing. So that means it's possible for you to be anxious for nothing. This is not to bring condemnation to say, you're anxious? Well, you just don't believe. This is to bring hope to say, if you're anxious, there's a place that you can go if you don't quit and you keep standing on the word and not ever be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So if you've been through a bad moment in your life, or you got pornography things and struggles from your past and hurts, and you have all this doubt and all this fear and all these emotions and all this hurt from anything from your past, here's the promise to you. You don't have to stay there. The promise is you can actually meditate on things which are pure and good and lovely. There's a place in God where that is your life. If you don't quit, you can have that. It's not because you're failing that you're going through those things. It's because you don't believe. But that's not fair comparing yourself to other people. You have to believe more than other people because that's your mountain. They have their own mountain, so leave them alone. But you have your mountain. So this is your mountain. It's not because you lack like compared to other people. It's that this is your mountain. So work on that. Stand on the word. Hold on to these promises and say, God, this is your promise. I can live this life thinking of good things, pure things. I don't have to think about the hurt that came from back when I was abused. I don't have to have those memories run through my mind. I don't have to allow them to keep coming of depression. I don't have to submit to this. I go to the Word, and it says, I don't have to be anxious for nothing. He heals the brokenhearted, Psalm 147:3, and binds up their wounds. Bless the Lord, Psalm 103. And there's hundreds of scriptures. These are just some specific ones that I hold on to. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with like kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfies your mouth with good things, so your youth is renewed like an eagle's. So these are promises that you have a right to stand on today. And if your life does not line up with this word, that's not a condemnation. It's a hope that says, stand on that word and you will bring your life, your body, your emotions, everything into subjection to this word, and you'll begin to become what this word says you already are. Say amen to that. So healing, is that your next one there? Just a couple of scripture. Matthew 8:16-17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. And Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So there's a promise here. It says, I don't have to accept sickness. If you're going through a battle like I'm going through, or many of you might be going through, it's not condemnation to go through battle. This is hope that says, I can believe that his word is true. So I refuse to go and let doubt and fear. In sickness, depending on what kind of battle you're in, the worst thing that happens is you give up hope, that you can start believing you're going to stay there forever. You'll never change. You'll never change. This is it. This is the end of your life. Look at all the other people. They didn't change. They never got healed. All the people that believed died. All the people went to the doctor died. And so you're probably going to die too. You fight that and say, no, I have a promise. It's not based on me. It's based on him. His word is true. So I'm reminding myself, don't give up hope. But what if it takes a long time? It doesn't matter how long it takes. This is my mountain. Thank you very much. And I will move it because God has already given me the authority, the power, everything I need to move that sucker, I can move. And so I will get there. And while I'm getting there, I'm not going to stop living. I'm not going to sit there and spend my 4 hours a day going, oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please heal me. Thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. And I'll spend 4 hours worrying about something that's already done rather than spend that time with Him, worshiping Him, or growing, or doing other things. All right. Family. You may have a dysfunctional family. And I know what that's like. And in some family members, your believing is the only thing that's going to get them to heaven. Because they ain't going to get there on their own. But glory to God, they are connected to you by blood. So you have a right to stand for them. And they have no choice but to go to heaven. Now they can get there on their deathbed. Or they can live a glorious life and serve God today. That's up to them. My job for my family is just to believe for their salvation. Now, I have a second belief that they'll serve God, another belief that they'll really serve God, and another belief says they'll do it tomorrow. But my first and most important is I'll spend eternity with every brother, every sister, every niece, every uncle, every aunt, every person related to me. From, you know, I have 10, there's 10 of us kids. My mom has been married 5 times, so I got lots of half-brothers and half-sisters and all kinds of uncles. Guess what? They're all coming to heaven. And what do I have to do? Do I have to give a special offering to show my faith? No, I just have to believe His word is true. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." This is Acts 2:38. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife will be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive branches all around your table. Behold, thus shall man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." These are simple promises that we can stand on. Again, standing on the word is not speaking the word, we'll get into that, or confession, and it's not prayer. Standing on the word is simply you hold on to this promise that comes from the word that's been paid for by the blood of Christ, and you refuse to let yourself be removed from that stand and say, "This is where I'm marking my territory. I won't be moved from this, no matter what happens. My family could go crazy. It doesn't matter. I don't care how crazy they want to go. They're going to heaven. I refuse to be moved. Well, it doesn't look good. I don't care what it looks like. The word of God is true. I don't care what the sickness says to you, what other people say to you, what the doctors say to you. You can hold on to something that is much more powerful than any doctor report, and that is the word of God. And no matter what the circumstances look like, you can hold on to the word. Amen. Deliverance, this is if you're struggling with sin and you say, "I've been trying to quit this and trying to quit this and trying to quit this. And it's just, every time I try to quit, it gets worse." Deliverance, here's some scripture for you. Romans 6:10, "For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, also you, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For dead shall not have dominion over you, or sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because he who is greater than you is greater than the world." This is not to bring condemnation to you, a feeling of failure because you're struggling with something. This is to bring hope, to say, look, this is who you are. You've got righteousness burning inside your spirit. Now you have hope that whatever you're struggling with, you can bring yourself to that place that God's already given to you, a place of holiness. And if you fail 1,000 times, that's why we have the mercy seat. That's why we have the blood of Christ. Lamentations 3, through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Pick yourself up, wash yourself, say, forgive me, and try again. I failed. Well, wash yourself off, try again. Keep praying in tongues, and on the road to get into this place, this promise, you're getting closer every day if you don't quit. See, where you quit the promise is when you say, you know, this is just who I am. I'm just angry all the time. This is just who I am. Get used to it. I'm just mean all the time. I'm just jealous all the time. I'm just envious all the time. I'm just whatever. We can come up with a million things the flesh likes to do that's contrary to the Word of God. The moment you accept that is when you quit standing on the Word. Standing on the Word is when you don't quit. You say, yeah, this is what I'm struggling with right now, but guess what? I'm going to get nicer. And I remember praying in tongues, and I didn't even know. I'd pray in tongues, and someone would do something to me, and I'd act a certain way. Then years later, I'd pray in tongues, and never really know that was a problem until someone did something to me. I went, oh, hey, I didn't act the same way. See, holiness is a fruit. It's more than an action. I can choose to act holy, but eventually I'll get tired of acting holy. And I'll act out what's inside of me, what I'm dealing with. But when it's a fruit, it means it comes out of you. It's who you are now. It's all you get. So if I have anger in me, and I choose to be, let love be my, you know, hey, I'm a lover. You be mean to me, I'll love you. Unless you're my neighbor and you do something I don't like, then I may not love you that day. But I'll love you, but I won't love you. See? But when it's a fruit, that's all you get. It comes out of you. It's not built. It's not generated. It's not made up. It's not in the moment. It's there. And so these are the promises. This is hope. This is not to condemn you or make you feel like a failure. This is to bring hope to you to say, look, whatever you're battling in your life, you can be the dirtiest, rottenest, hidden sinner in this room, and you have just as much hope to get to a place of holiness as the pearly white guy sitting down the corner. You have just as much hope because it's based on his word. And if you don't give up, you're going to get there. Amen? I'll close with Psalm 136. He who remembers us in our lowly state, for his mercies endure forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercies endure forever. So how many times can you fail God? Forever. And he's right there. I've been there where I said, I don't think I even want to ask for forgiveness because I'll probably do this again. You know, I'm trying to quit something, and so I've asked God to forgive me, and then I do it again, then I ask God to forgive me, and I do it again. And then finally I said, I don't even know if I want to ask God to forgive me because there's a good chance I'll probably do it again. And guess what? His mercy was still there. Even if you think you might fail, as long as you're fighting it, you're standing on his word. Amen. So standing on the word is staying on the promises of God. I love what Tim said today. God who owns everything, has everything, doesn't need anything except for you. This is the promise. Quit trying to impress him. Just give him yourself. Even dirty, rotten, broken down, messed up you. That's what he wants. You who struggle with sin, struggle with health, struggle with emotional problems, depression, struggle with family problems, all your struggles, guess what? He wants you. He's right here. God will come. God will come. And he'll meet you right where you are. No matter how far away you think you are from him, he will come to you. He'll take you by the hand. And he'll stand with you. And he'll be here with you to walk through whatever life has thrown at you. That's the promise. Don't give up on his word. Don't give up on yourself. Keep standing on his word. Meditate the word and say, this is who I get to be. This is who I get to be. This is who I'm becoming. It's already in me. It's already done. I don't have to ask God to heal me. He's already healed me. I don't have to ask God to deliver me. I'm already delivered. I don't have to ask God to provide for me. He's already paid the price for that. I just have to believe that this word is true. I don't have to earn this. I don't have to do one thing to get this. Just believe and stand until I'm there. And I won't believe anything else is true. I won't believe I have to be a failure. I won't believe I have to have breast cancer like my mom. I won't believe I have to live someone else's testimony. I won't believe that I live in this spot the rest of my life. I believe His word is true and everything else is a lie. And I won't be moved by it. That's standing on the word, and we can do it. We don't have to change course. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would? I found that almost every problem we face falls into these five categories. And so that's why I've made these five categories for us. Is whatever your struggle is, welcome to the Adam's human race. And our victory is because of who we belong to now, God's family. Amen. And let me say this, if you're here today, maybe you've never accepted Jesus in your heart, and you're here for that purpose. Would you come up right now and just say, hey, I want to get saved. I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you today, then come really quick and join me up here. Everyone else in this church has done the same thing. Came up in front of people and accepted Christ. So if that's you, please come right now. I want to make sure that you have a chance. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you believe in us enough that we can become who you've already made us, that we can become the man and woman of God and walk in all the promises every day, no matter what our struggle is, no matter what we're going through. We believe your word is true and everything else is a lie. We refuse to remove our feet from the promises that you've given to us. We refuse to be intimidated, pushed, pulled, enticed away from what you have given to us. Because you are everything to us. You are our provider. You are our deliverer. You are our supplier. You are our healer. You are all we need, Father. So I thank you. I thank you for believing in me. Believing in us, even when we're not worthy. You're still faithful. And we thank you for everything. Give you all the glory for the wonderful things in store that we have for us and for all the lives that are going to be changed, all the peoples that are going to become closer to you, all the people that are going to find their calling, all the people that will find salvation and miracles. Father, we thank you that you've included us. That is our future. You've included us in your future. And in this moment, we are happy to walk through every battle because we know where we're going. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're released. If you like prayer, please come on up to the green line here. We'll be glad to pray with you. And God bless you. Have a good week. Glad you're here.